Some people are batch cookers by nature, others by necessity. It saves a huge amount of time cooking something in a big batch and then freezing individual or maybe family size servings. Personally, I'm not a frequent batch cooker, but I can definitely see the benefits. My best friend is all about the batch cooking. When she was pregnant, I visited her for a bit, and we made so many meals that we packaged up and put in the chest freezer so that she'd have meals for when the baby came and didn't have time to cook. Another great benefit of batch cooking is to stave off the need for takeout or store-bought freezer meals. If there's a meal in the freezer that's ready to eat, it leaves very little excuse to eat something packaged when we're just too tired to make something on a given night. Though I will say there are some brands making great stuff in the freezer section lately with mostly whole plant foods. Amy's has some meals that are dairy-free. Not all of them are, though. And I've been seeing more and more veggie burgers that are made with real foods, not just soy protein isolate or whatever it is they put in fast food type veggie burgers. Anyway, there are some qualities to look for in what you can batch cook. The first thing I would say is whether it's freezable. For instance, a pureed carrot soup would definitely be freezable, but potato zucchini fritters probably not. Some things just don't make any sense to batch cook, like pesto pita pizza, but you could make a big batch of pizza dough and freeze that so it's ready to go when you want to have a pizza night. If you think about it, there are plenty of regular recipes that you could make in large batches and freeze. So if you learn how to look at them in the right way, you should be able to find a ton of options for you to batch cook. Some of the recipes that we've had so far that would be batch cook eligible are the brownie bites. They're actually really nice right out of the freezer, particularly in the summer. The baked falafel burgers, the Moroccan chickpea stew, the easy tomato chickpea soup, the eggplant curry, the parsley pistachio pesto on its own. You can freeze, I know a lot of people who freeze pesto in ice cube trays, and then once they're frozen, they can put them in a bag or a container. The lentil chili, definitely freezable. Black bean brownies, kind of a tongue twister. Those I would just cut before putting in the freezer, and then you can just have one here and there whenever you like. The roasted squash and red pepper soup, perfect for freezing. The gingerbread energy bites, as well as the brownie bites. So those are ones that would be great to batch cook and freeze. But then batch cooking doesn't have to just be freezing stuff. So a lot of time I will make a bean salad in a big batch, and then I portion it out so I can take it to work or school for the week. So I normally get one 14-ounce can and make three salads, but I usually have to have a little something on the side because it's not quite enough. And then there are 2 days of the week that I have to cover with leftovers from dinner. So if you want to cover your whole week, I would suggest getting two small, 14-ounce cans, and then add your veggies and your dressing, and that should make five salads. If you use 19-ounce cans, you probably only need 1.5, but I don't know, you could use two. It's not a huge deal. If you have too much for lunch one day, you just don't have to eat it all. So, the other batch cooking strategy is to always make extra dinner so that you can take leftovers for lunch. Now, it doesn't always work. Sometimes leftovers just aren't very good as leftovers, or maybe you can't heat up your meal at work or school. Personally, I hate taking soup to go because I'm always worried that it's going to leak. I know there are containers that are much better with the screw top on them, but still, I don't know, I'd rather eat soup at home. So anyway, for the most part, it's pretty easy to make extra dinner and package the leftovers when you clean up. And there are some really simple things you can do just to prepare food ahead to be totally on top of things. So although it's best to grind flax every day that you eat it, it's not a huge deal if you grind enough to last for a couple weeks and then keep it in the fridge so then I don't have to grind it every single day. I also make a big pot of brown rice or quinoa or whatever grain I want to have that week. So I can use it for dinner, use it for a bunch of different meals. I just cook it plain so that I can make it in a few different ways. And then all I have to do is chop and prepare some vegetables, get whatever sauce or flavor I want with it, ready to go. Similarly with porridge for breakfast, when I'm making that, I make a pot with enough for 5 days. And then when I have it in the morning, I either reheat it with some boiling water, you know, the portion that I'm going to eat that day, or I might have it cold with almond milk. So it's like cereal. I also make a big jar of salad dressing. Whenever I make salad dressing for a meal, I just make a big batch of it. So then the next meal is ready to go. You can use it for salads, steamed vegetables. I even stir it into soups or stews sometimes. If I don't have vegetable broth or I don't have something to add flavor to my soup, I'll just add some salad dressing. It sounds kind of weird, but it's really, really good. The creamy dressings, like tahini-based dressings, work so, so nicely. The only thing I probably wouldn't do is an avocado dressing in a soup. It might go kind of funky when it gets heated up. I also like having a bean dip in the fridge all the time so that when I want a snack, there's something healthy and filling waiting for me. And the great thing about making soups, dressings, and dips and then having them left over for the next day is that their flavors develop and merge better over time. So I hope those give you some tips for how to look for meals that you can batch cook. I think it's a pretty straightforward topic, so I'm not going to go on and on about it. And in going over the list of recipes we've covered so far, I feel like we're lacking on the veggie burgers. And you've got several soups so far that you could batch cook and freeze. Soup's kind of the obvious batch cook meal. So I want to share a veggie burger with you today that's really tasty, perfect for freezing, savory mushroom burger. Now, if you don't have time to make the full burger, you could always just bake or grill a big portobello mushroom cap for today's dinner. But for those game to try making the full recipe of this burger with buckwheat and lots of amazing flavors, you are going to love this. And if you decide to make a massive batch and freeze the extras, the best way to keep them is to put them in an airtight container separated by sheets of parchment or wax paper. I love eating these on top of a bed of massaged kale that's dressed with some tahini dressing, and then top it off with some chopped cherry tomatoes and pickle slices. Yum. But they are also fantastic on a whole grain bun or a pita if you want to go more traditional. Top it with lettuce, tomato, pickle, ketchup, sweet potato fries, always a great pair. However you enjoy them, I hope you love them, and let me know if you try batch cooking them, how they turn out. And we'll talk tomorrow.